Why aren't you writing, Mr. Mitch? Chica is lying on the carpet in my office. She flips onto her back. She plays with her fingers. She comes here in the early morning, when the light is still thin at the window. Sometimes she has a doll or a set of magic markers. Other times it's just her. She wears her blue pajamas with the My Little Pony cartoon on the top and pastel stars on the bottoms. In the past, Chica loved to choose her clothes each morning after brushing her teeth, matching the colors of the socks and the shirts. But she doesn't do that anymore. Chica died last spring, when the trees in our yard were beginning to bud, as they are budding now, as it is spring again. Her absence left us without breath or sleep or appetite, and my wife and I stared straight ahead for long stretches until someone spoke to snap us out of it. Then one morning, Chica reappeared. "Why aren't you writing?" she says again. My arms are crossed. I stare at the empty screen. "About what?" "About me." "I will." "When?" "Soon." She makes a grr sound like a cartoon tiger. "Don't be mad." "Don't be mad, Chica." "Don't go, okay?" She taps her little fingers on the desk as if she has to think about it. Chica never stays for long. She first appeared 8 months after she died, the morning of my father's funeral. I walked outside to look at the sky, and suddenly, there she was, standing beside me, holding the porch railing. I said her name in disbelief. "Chica?" And she turned so I knew she could hear me. I spoke quickly, believing this was a dream and she would vanish at any moment. That was then. Lately, when she appears, I am calm. I say, "Good morning, beautiful girl." And she says, "Good morning, Mr. Mitch." And she sits on the floor or in her little chair, which I never remove from my office. You can get used to everything in life, I suppose. Even this. "Why aren't you writing?" Chica repeats. "People say I should wait." "Who?" "Friends, colleagues." "Why?" "I don't know." "That's a lie. I do know." "You need more time. It's too raw. You're too emotional." "Maybe they're right. Maybe when you put your loved ones down on paper, you forever accept that reality of them. And maybe I don't want to accept this reality, that Chica is gone, that words on paper are all I get." "Watch me, Mr. Mitch." She rolls on her back, left and right. "The Isby Bisby spider went up a water spout." "Itsy Bitsy," I correct. The words are itsy bitsy. "Nah-uh," she says. Her cheeks are full and her hair is tightly braided, and her little lips pucker as if she's going to whistle. She's the size she was when we brought her here from Haiti as a 5-year-old and told her she was going to live with us while the doctors made her better. "When will you start writing?" "Why does this bother you so much?" I ask. "That," she says, pointing. I follow her finger across my desk, past souvenirs of her time with us, photos, a plastic sippy cup, her little red dragon from Mulan, a calendar. "That." "The calendar?" I read the date, April 6th, 2018. Tomorrow, April 7th, will be 1 year. 1 year since she left us. "Is that why you're being this way?" I ask. She looks at her feet. "I don't want you to forget me," she mumbles. "Oh, sweetheart," I say, "that's impossible. You can't forget someone you love." She tilts her head as if I don't know something obvious. "Yes, you can," she says.